Anyway, we got back in at 5:30, and we got to the banquet and appreciated so much Ed's message to us. But I want to just take a moment because I have watched him over the years in and out of this, and I was a part of one of the earliest when we met across town at the Embassy Suites and was on that original letterhead. And so I've been a part of this for a long time and so appreciate all the contributions so many of you have made. But Tommy Ice has really, and his wife, worked behind the scenes. And so, Tommy, just from my heart to yours, thank you for all of your work and that of your wife and incredible help. And since we have obviously talked about the rapture, we'll talk about the rapture going back and forth in all the details. I'm going to choose not to do that this morning. I have my kids living with us. They're in between houses as they have transitioned in ministry over from Dallas to Fort Worth. And so we're deep into grandchildren. I call them the grand munchkins. And they greet us in the morning and say night-night on the way up the stairs at night, and it's terrific. But I want to turn our hearts around the corner between Thanksgiving toward the holidays and talk about the prophetic significance. And I want to talk about signs of significance. In Dr. Seuss's holiday horror story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Grinch takes off with all of the Christmas gifts in Whoville just as the Whos are about to wake up. And he can't wait to see how distressed they will be when they find out their Christmas has been stolen. Poo-poo to the Whos, he was grinchously humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the Who's down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo. As the Grinch listens for the sounds of crying, he's most surprised to hear instead the sounds of singing. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. And then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas means a little bit more. In the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Luke chapter 2 in verse 10, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel and a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. The title of my talk this morning is The Signs of Significance. And first of all, there is the significance of the geography. The significance of the geography. The setting, as you know, is the city of David. The shepherds' fields near and around the city of Bethlehem were no doubt the scene of where those shepherds were keeping sheep. 1 Samuel 17:15 confirms Bethlehem as the city of David, and it was not only David's hometown, it was also the place from which he hailed, and near Hebron from where he first reigned. Micah 5:2 specifies the city where the Messiah would one day rule over Israel. And that city would be the little town of Bethlehem. Interestingly, when Matthew references this text, the Spirit leads him to combine it with another from 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 2. And in the context, we read in verse 3, when Herod the king, in Matthew 2, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Because the wise men, as you know, came, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, interestingly enough, he inquired of them where the Messiah would be born. And there was no hesitation about direct messianic prophecy. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler, and the 2 Samuel 5, 2 portion, who will shepherd my people Israel. Whenever he reigns, he will reign over a future people of Israel. A lost premillennial text for a lot of people, evidently. One of my pet peeves at Christmas is Barbara Streisand, an atheistic Jew, singing Ave Maria, a Catholic song about a Christian event. It boggles my mind that in our culture they sing our songs, they just miss. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. But it doesn't surprise me, because every time we inaugurate a president of the United States in Washington, they sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which is really a request for God to judge us. Phew. Goes right past. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his fateful lightning with his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on, to which we all go, glory, glory, hallelujah. Now, we who are believers obviously look forward to that righteousness of God. But the death of the wicked, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And we sing glory, hallelujah, he's one day going to judge. We missed it and continue to miss it. The other pet peeve that I have is the loss of the second half of Micah 5:2. Since Matthew doesn't quote it, it's important for us not to miss it. Because Jesus didn't begin in Bethlehem. He's the eternal Son of God who became flesh at Bethlehem. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. Don't miss the purpose. Ruler in Israel, not only over Israel, but in Israel. And his goings forth are from long ago, even the days of eternity. The eternal sonship of Jesus Christ, who becomes flesh, incarnate at Bethlehem. Don't miss the significance. The revelation of the Eternal One at Bethlehem is identified both in Micah as well as in Matthew by his birth that is accompanied by the promise of his reign. The specific site is the stable. And all that the New Testament says is that Jesus was laid in a manger in the environs of Bethlehem. And the question is, what kind of stall or manger is being referenced? And what specific animal was fed or housed there? And while the New Testament does not tell us where in Bethlehem Jesus was born, the Old Testament and Jewish tradition might combine to do just that. Which leads me to the second point of significance, and that's the prediction. Prophetically, according to the Hebrew Scriptures, as I will show you, as well as Jewish